Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB. 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Oh, welcome back to the House of Mystery. And of course, joining us now is journalist and author Dylan Howard. Thank you for being here, Dylan.
It's good to be with you.
So, how did you get involved into writing The Killing Fields?
So the book Aaron Hernandez, Killing Fields, came about through an association that I had, which was an introduction to a gentleman, a convicted criminal by the name of Kyle Kennedy. Now, Kyle Kennedy was serving at the Susan Baranowski facility in Massachusetts. And in the wake of Aaron Hernandez's suicide, he was identified as Aaron's potential jailhouse lover through connections. Somebody I knew of him, and I first met with Kyle behind bars in Massachusetts in September 2017. My interview with him was one of many over a number of hours, and it was what he had to say which set me on a two-year journey to investigate the real Aaron Hernandez. And the real Aaron Hernandez is a story that I don't think America really knows. It's certainly far worse than we previously knew. And what Kyle Kennedy had to reveal was a very disturbing allegation, and that was that Aaron had admitted to him behind bars that he was responsible for a fourth never before known murder.
Wow. So when you find out this information, how did you follow up with that? Like, how could you believe necessarily what this Carl was telling you?
You know, that's a very valid point. You know, I pressed Kyle quite strongly on the circumstances surrounding Aaron's confession. And I said to him that if he had additional information about the murder, whom the victim was, that he needed to come clean and tell us. This was a recorded interview, also as part of a documentary series, which will be coming out and premiering on the Reels Network soon. And in fact, it will be announced soon. He didn't have any additional information. But certainly his credibility was not in question, because he provided me a series of letters between he and Aaron, which substantiated that their relationship was indeed an intimate relationship, contrary to what Jose Baez, Aaron Hernandez's lawyer, and Aaron Hernandez's fiancée, Shania, had actually previously said. So I did indeed believe Kyle Kennedy, and I formed a small mini task force as part of this book that included a serving Chicago PD homicide detective, another homicide detective, a private investigator, a prosecutor that deals in homicide cases, a criminologist, and others. And we began investigating the people around Aaron, and it ultimately led us to a Boston cold case, that involved the execution-style killing of a gentleman by the name of Jordan Miller, which to this very day remains unsolved. We believe that the likely probability is that Aaron Hernandez, or someone associated with Aaron Hernandez, was responsible for the execution-style murder of Jordan Miller in suburban Boston. Why do we believe this? We have an informant who spoke to us, is interviewed as part of the documentary, is in the book, about a drug deal that took place on a particular night in a cemetery. Not far from there, we're talking like under a mile or 2 miles, is where Jordan Miller was later killed that night. Jordan Miller bears a remarkable resemblance to Odin Lloyd, who was the victim of Aaron Hernandez and who was murdered, and Aaron was convicted of the murder of Odin Lloyd, who was the lover of his fiancée's sister. So the fact that they bore a remarkable resemblance, that Aaron was high on drugs on this night in question, that he was overheard by this drug dealer saying that they needed to get to Odin, and that Odin was killed less than 2 weeks later, paints a profile that very much likely looms as the case. Now, the Boston Police Department has said that this case remains unsolved. What needs to take place now, if it hasn't already, is the ballistics in the case of Jordan Miller need to be compared to the ballistics in the death of Odin Lloyd. If there is a match, it would conclusively prove that the same weapon was used in the murder of both men. But then again, there is somewhat of a variable here. The death of Jordan Miller could have taken place with another weapon. Aaron Hernandez had a fascination with guns, that we know. So certainly there are more leads that should be investigated as part of the findings of this book.
And I have to ask you, are the police open to the idea that Hernandez was involved in this murder?
You know, the police have said that this is now still an active and open investigation. It's not a cold case, which is some comfort for the family. But the burden now is on the Boston Police Department to determine if Aaron Hernandez or someone associated with him who was with him that night was responsible for the murder of Jordan Miller. Certainly Jordan Miller's family believes that Aaron Hernandez might well have been responsible. And the fact that the case remains unsolved certainly does pique everyone's curiosity about this. I think the frightening thing, though, for me is that if Aaron Hernandez killed Odin Lloyd, was responsible for a double homicide, and killed a fourth individual, that makes him not only a serial killer, but the most heinous sports person or athlete ever to play sport in the history of the world.
What do you think the purpose of him killing these four people, and even Jordan Miller, like, did he just have an affinity to kill, or was there particular reasons he killed people?
So there was, according to Carl Kennedy, he possessed an insatiable appetite for violence. But the motive for the murder of Odin Lloyd certainly is an unanswered question, and we explore this significantly in the book. Now, what we know is that Aaron Hernandez was overheard saying that he wanted to kill Odin Lloyd. Odin Lloyd was a close friend of Aaron Hernandez, so he must have done something that Aaron believed had crossed the line to execute someone as a result. Or did he know too much? Now, the suggestion has been that Aaron's sexuality potentially could come out. But it's hard to fathom that one would kill to protect their sexuality, or that they were living a closeted lifestyle. Jarrett Farentino, who is an assistant homicide prosecutor, was involved in the task force that was formed. He believes that there is a strong case that the motive for murder was that Aaron was HIV positive and that he was harboring this secret. And the reason that Jarrett has come to that conclusion is that he trawled through thousands of court documents, and lawyers for Aaron Hernandez requested from the New England Patriots a series of documents as part of their defense. There were four checkboxes of documents that they ticked. They ticked all but one, and that one that they didn't tick was for STD or HIV health records. So it's plausible to think that they didn't request that information because it was irrelevant to the defense, or equally as so, it's plausible to think they didn't request that information because they didn't want that information public. And if they didn't want public, what did that information contain? And the conclusion of Jarrett Farentino is that it wasn't his sexuality that the motive for murder was. It was that he was HIV positive, and the potential ramifications of that coming out for a sport that has not been identified as having any player that is HIV positive currently on a football field could be potentially devastating.
How far did you go back in Hernandez's life, and do you think there could have been even other murders before?
I can't rule that out, and I'll be completely frank with you. You know, anyone that has killed multiple times, and let's not kid ourselves, Aaron Hernandez was a serial killer. So I do believe that there are crimes that we don't know about. I don't have any leads to suggest that, but leopards don't change their spots. Once a criminal, always a criminal. We went back to Aaron's very upbringing. He grew up in a violent household. He grew up in a household where his father ruled with an iron fist. At age 17, he dropped out of high school and went to the University of Florida. And very early on in his tenure as a tight end at the University of Florida, he was involved in an incident at a bar with Tim Tebow in which a waiter was physically assaulted by Aaron over a disagreement about a bar tap. And Aaron assaulted this gentleman so significantly that it ruptured his eardrum. Before police could investigate Aaron for assault, the case was covered up. The witness was paid off, and he told police that he was not prepared to testify or provide evidence against Aaron Hernandez. And this was just one in a series of incidents that took place prior to the murder of Odin Lloyd. And this is significant because in many ways it helped embolden Aaron Hernandez as a criminal. Here was someone who thought he was invincible, who could get away literally, with murder because he was an NFL superstar on a $40 million contract, blessed with a beautiful fiancée and a young daughter. He thought he was invincible. And he thought he could get away with these crimes. This is someone who, in another incident, shot someone in the face. In another incident in Florida, shot one of his closest friends in the face at point-blank range. He was a cold-blooded killer and violent thug who had at his very fingertips the all-American dream, and he shattered it in pursuit of crime.
That brings up an interesting question that I wanted to ask you. The case where he, well, I can't remember the guy's name. Was it Alexander, the guy he shot in the face, the friend of his who, I guess he provided him drugs or something over the years?
Alexander Bradley, yes.
Yeah, and I didn't know a lot about this case, so I made sure to bone up on it a little bit before we talked. And reading that part of the story, one of the things that shocked me was how many people seemed to be aware of this problem that he had with violence, and especially the guy he shot in the face who helped cover it up afterwards and kept sending him texts saying, I love you, and, you know, you're my buddy and everything. You know, most people, after somebody shot you in the face, that'd be the end of your friendship. But he seemed to have a power or some kind of hold over other people. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there are two answers here. You're absolutely right. The Alexander Bradley situation makes no sense. How could you be a consigliere, if you like, for Aaron Hernandez, be shot at point-blank range in the face and still be a friend of that individual? It makes no sense. Aaron was particularly concerned that this individual would come forward and detail information about him. And ultimately, in the double homicide, there were allegations that both men were responsible for the murder of the two innocent victims. But I think the wider issue, and one that is a discussion that is well worth having, is the subtitle of the book, The Code of Silence. Mm-hmm. Let's be under no illusions. The University of Florida knew who Aaron Hernandez was. They knew that he was not a pillar of society. Yet, there was a win-at-all-costs attitude. At the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, these individuals didn't like him. They thought his behavior was odd. And they, too, knew of incidents involving Aaron Hernandez. So one must ask the question about whether or not these organizations or the establishment of the NFL is complicit in some way by not intervening in the mental well-being of someone who is clearly troubled. To me, they're duty-bound to do so. And I can't help but think, having researched this case for 2 years, that had there have been intervention...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That had these organizations looked at Aaron Hernandez and identified that he was a problem, that we might not be talking about 4 murders, and Aaron Hernandez might well still be alive today.
Well, I also want to ask you about his state of mind, about how he had this predilection for violence, and also the paranoia. So much of what I was reading about it, he thought agents were following him or listening to him or wiretapping him and things. And the incident with his friend where he shot him in the face, from what I've read, it seems to have culminated because Aaron Hernandez was convinced that people were, the government or agents were listening to him through phones, and so he demanded that his circle of friends not bring their phones around. And that night, I guess Alexander had left his phone at the club and asked Aaron to go back with him to get it, and they got into an argument, and the next thing you know, he's shooting him in the face over that. That it seems like he was not all there upstairs. I'm not trying to excuse anything that he did by saying that he was suffering from an actual mental illness, but it sure seems like paranoia was driving a lot of this. And is that somehow part of this, you know, act, maybe shooting the wrong person, the recklessness, the double murder, you know, right on the street in front of people? How do you think that all plays into this?
Yeah, recklessness is an understatement, but you're absolutely right. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but Aaron had suffered from CTE, the degenerative brain disease that has had a tremendous impact negatively on so many footballers. At age 27, Aaron's brain had a tennis ball size hole in it. So he was adversely affected by CTE. He was a drug abuser of the highest order, and behind bars, indeed ran a criminal enterprise with Kyle Kennedy, smuggling drugs into these prison facilities and selling them to other inmates. But to your point, he was outside when free, outside of the NFL, using drugs significantly. He was paranoid. He believed that he was being watched, followed, and listened to. But if you think about it, if you're living a twisted double life and you have a trap house that your fiance doesn't know about, where you party with friends and you invite male strippers over and male lovers, there inherently would be a level of paranoia associated with being caught. Mm-hmm. Whether that was being driven by the CTE remains to be seen. By no means is it an excuse for his behaviour, but certainly it does provide perhaps an explanation into why he was so mentally disturbed.
And I think we should mention that the CTE that you're talking about, that's the brain condition that was described in the film Concussion with Will Smith.
That's right.
About
football players. It's effectively CTE is caused by, in very plain and simple terms, the space between one's head and the football helmet, and the constant impact like that of the head and the brain against the materials used to make the helmet. Mm-hmm. So in Aaron Hernandez's case, for 15 or 17 years, dating back to when he was playing high school football and junior football, he was suffering from this. And at age 27, it was the worst case of CTE that anyone had ever seen.
So he was actually diagnosed with that?
No, his brain was donated after.
Oh, okay.
Donated or examined after his suicide. And this is what it revealed.
Wow.
So I would think that his gay lifestyle would have affected how he thought. Like, how did he do that with a fiance and with other football players and all that without being discovered?
So he had a small group of friends that were obviously aware of this situation. In the book, I speak with Dennis Santucci. Dennis is his high school lover. He says that they secretly had trysts that no one knew about. Aaron was concerned that if people knew about it, that he would be treated differently. He was also very concerned as to how his family would react to him being homosexual. I think that's probably the saddest element. It makes this very much, in many ways, a Shakespearean tragedy. The fact that we had a superstar athlete who felt forced to be in a romantic relationship with a woman, have a child with her, but be closeted and not be able to come out of the closet because he was a superstar athlete, is the sad and tragic part of the Aaron Hernandez story.
What was the biggest surprise you learned about Hernandez in your investigation?
Well, the fourth murder clearly is a significant thing.
Right.
But it also, you know, the book also has one very clear and complex unanswered question. Clear because we can ask it, but complex because we don't know the answer. Why did he kill himself? Why, 2 days after being acquitted of a double homicide that he actually committed, and looking at potential daylight with an appeal in the Odin Lloyd case, why did he decide to take his own life? Especially when I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours of taped phone conversations with Aaron and family members and friends, in which he even goes into detail of describing living in prison as like the Ritz Hotel, and that he was in a stable frame of mind. Why all of a sudden did he decide to commit suicide? It's a question that I don't think we will ever know the answer to.
So what was this? He wrote 4 suicide letters?
So prison sources said that when Aaron was discovered, he was discovered inside his cell. He had put soap on the floor, so if he'd been found while still alive, having tried to commit suicide, that correctional officers wouldn't be able to actually get to him because they would slip over. So Aaron wanted to die. But what was discovered was four suicide notes, according to my reporting. Three of those suicide notes have only ever emerged. One was to Jose Baez, his defense attorney. The second was to his fiancée, Shania. And the third was to his child. My sources within the prison say that a fourth letter was left and found, and that Carl Kennedy was told at one point, did you ever get the fourth, did you ever get your letter? Not the fourth letter, but did you ever get your letter? And Carl Kennedy said no. Now, immediately after Aaron's suicide, Jose Baez took possession of what was left in the cell. And the insinuation from those close to Carl Kennedy is that there was some form of cover-up to prevent the release of the fourth letter, or to provide that fourth letter to Carl Kennedy, because it would reveal Aaron's sexuality, which is a position that Aaron, that Jose Baez and his fiancée continue to deny to this very day.
Oh, they still don't admit that he had gay relationships.
No, in fact, I spoke to Jose Baez, and he said it was a complete lie that Aaron Hernandez was gay or was involved in a relationship with Carl Kennedy. And I said to him, what would you say if I said to you, I've read the love letters? And he wasn't aware of the love letters. And indeed, the book opens up with a love letter from Aaron to Kyle in which he says he loves him. According to Kyle, these two are planning a future together.
How would they do that if he was engaged or being married and have a child? Like, was he going to leave her or just kind of run both lives at the same time?
Well, he was effectively running two lives at the same time, a double life, when he was a New England Patriot. So, you know, it's a hypothetical how he would do it. If he was behind bars for the rest of his life and Carl Kennedy was behind bars, I guess the two could have enjoyed a relationship behind bars.
Well, and I wanted to ask you, too, that I can't say that I have a whole lot of respect for Jose Baez or his critical thinking skills, but the Kyle is not the only person who is making this allegation. You referred to someone who was a childhood lover of his. Doesn't Jose Baez know about that? And how could he so cavalierly pretend that there's nothing to this when there seems to be some evidence behind it?
You know, I what I'll say about Jose Baez is Jose Baez is a very, very talented defense lawyer. And the goal of a defense lawyer is to confuse the scenario and ultimately get an acquittal for their client. And in the case of Casey Anthony, that with some outlandish theories that sowed the seed of doubt in the mind of the jury.
Yes.
He successfully got Aaron Hernandez off the double homicide case and had him acquitted, even though Aaron had admitted to Carl Kennedy that he pulled the trigger and was guilty of those crimes too, but was prepared to lie to beat the rap. So, yes, seemingly it would be very difficult for Jose Baez to deny the facts in this situation, but as a defense attorney, sometimes the truth is not your most accessible tool.
And what did he say in response to that when you mentioned these love letters?
That he had not seen them, so he couldn't validate the authenticity of them. I actually read to him one of the love letters, and his response was, well, Aaron told everyone that he loved them, and that he told him on occasion that he loved him. But the cold hard reality was the nature of these love letters were not the type of, hey, I love you, bro, or I love you, man. They were tender, they were emotional, and it is quite apparent that these two were engaged in a relationship.
What do you hope people get out of the book?
Well, I think the role of an investigator is to shine light on dark places. And in this instance, a hell of a lot of light has been shined on some very dark places it paints a more vivid portrait of Aaron Hernandez. If there is to be any justice as the result of this book, it is that the Jordan Miller death be solved. There is a grieving family there that have lived for years not knowing who killed their son, their brother, their cousin. And if that case can come to some form of finality, then this book will have done its job. If this book changes how the NFL and NFL teams treat their troubled star footballers, and they all have troubled star footballers, then it will have done some good. But I also recognize that there are going to be a lot of people that don't like the contents of this book. New England fans won't like it. A lot of people will question the credibility of Kyle Kennedy. But this is the most, I guess if you like, revealing story of Aaron Hernandez that has been told to date. It shows a pattern of violence and brutality that stretches back to one's days at the University of Florida. And it is an alarming look at professional sport, and if any change can occur as a result, then that would be a good thing.
Do you think Hernandez was a sociopath?
No doubt in my mind he was a narcissistic sociopath.
Wow. Well, very, very interesting story, research. Now, do you have a website or places people can come find you?
The book is available at Amazon. It is available at all good bookstores, brick and mortar stores, as well as Barnes & Noble and Hudson News at the airport. And people can also go to my website, which is www.frontpagedetectives.com. That's frontpagedetectives.com, which is a series of books that I'm writing related to these true crimes. This book is the second book in a series. The first one was Princess Diana. The next one is the final conversations of Charles Manson, which will be released later this month. And then on December 3, a groundbreaking and unprecedented investigation into the death, the mysterious death of Jeffrey Epstein. That book is titled Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and will be released on December 3.
Well, fantastic. And we'll have that linked on our website as well, so people listening can just do one click and get the book. Again, thank you very much. Our guest has been Dylan Howard.
Thanks for your time.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
The mission has been completed.
The end!
By George, he's got it! It is the end!
I'll see you.
If you're lying to me, I'll be back.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.